Collaborative businesses are on the rise, and this is the Collaborative Business Podcast, a podcast that will help you find answers and provides useful insights to the best ways of working together in partnerships, alliances, and many other kind of business-to-business collaboration. Here's your host, Peter Simoons.
Welcome to episode 17 of the Collaborative Business Podcast. In this episode, I'm in conversation with Francine Allaire. And this is quite an interesting conversation. You will hear a lot of experience that Francine brings to the conversation. Francine shares, for instance, 6 critical success factors for partnerships that she feels essential. Success factors that might be known to most of us, but they are nicely grouped in 6 pragmatical ways that we can apply them to our own partnership. You will hear a lot of experience and a lot of great tips. So let's welcome Francine to the conversation. Francine, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you. And Francine, as a regular question, I would always like my guest to ask you to introduce yourself to the listeners. So who is Francine and what do you do?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, first of all. I'm glad to be here. So I've spent most of my career in sales, business, partner development position, working primarily in the IT tech and consulting industry. So right now, my current employer is Oracle. This is my second time around at Oracle. I've worked also for the likes of Computer Science Corporation, CSC, Sun Microsystem, KPMG. And if you could summarize what I'm best known for, is assisting companies with accelerating growth and increasing sales, but building partner strategy and ecosystem to penetrate addressable market and create new opportunities and expand the pipeline, which is what every company wants to do, and also bring cross-functional teams to work together towards a common set of goals and objective. And one thing of note as well, I love the new social media landscape, and so do you. Mm-hmm. And I was named by Forbes in 2010 as one of the top 20 most influential women on Twitter for marketing, business, and technology advice, so which was a great honor for me.
Yeah, it certainly is. So it also means that you're pretty active in the social media landscape, as I know.
Yes, I believe in that. And I think that, both of us actually have met and collaborated on, using the social landscape. And I think that it gives you a chance to reach out to people, professional clients, collaborators in ways that it never was possible before. So yeah. It really is good.
Well, I can only agree with that because we know each other for about 4 years now, I think, and mm-hmm. we never met in person. We only met through virtual ways, Twitter, Facebook, what have you, and Skype. So it's really extending the landscape.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it gives everyone really a level playing field. I often speak about, I just wrote a post that's going to be coming up soon on Nimble about like the large businesses versus small businesses. And I think that the tools that we have available today, the social media and so on, what it means to businesses and to professionals, I mean, really levels the playing field between big business and small business. And I think that small businesses, in ways, if done properly, could use these tools to reach out to people to collaborate in ways that large business cannot always do because of their culture, their processes, things are getting in the way of, their intention versus what they feel they're capable of doing. So, it really is great. It's a very great tool to identify potential collaborators. I think that from a search perspective, and you could listen, you could see what's going on before you even decide to reach out to someone and really personalize, as you should, personalize the message if and when you actually do reach out to someone.
And you're almost hinting to the fact, or am I wrong, that collaboration could be a new business model. But before we dive in, let's try to define what collaboration is for you. What is business collaboration for you?
I would say that when I look back at my career, Peter, and I hate to admit it, but I've been in this space for about 20 years, so I've seen it, you know, it really evolved from a professional standpoint, as well as the way companies and customers and partners, you know, engage with each other and what the expectations are. And I would say that I attribute my success to my ability and willingness to develop, foster, and nurture relationships, whether it be with my team, my customers, my colleagues, you know, executives, partners, even competitors at times. And I would say that more than ever today, individual and corporations need to get much better and much more astute at partnering and collaborating. Because if you look at it, you know, when we say like the new normal, we often hear that. But if we put it simply, you know, in the workplace, we're all being asked to do more with less. You know, we have less funding, we have less time, we have less support, we have less human resources. There's more work to be done. You know, the expectations are always greater in terms of revenue and so on. But, you know, there's less to go around to get the things accomplished. And no one company or no one person has all of the pieces, the resources, the talent, and so on. And competition is increasing, and the speed to market is of key importance. So, you know, I really believe that collaboration is the new workplace business model. And I would go so far as to say that in light of that, in light of, you know, the new world we live in, the business that, you know, the business that really embrace collaboration, you know, are in collaboration is really at the heart, I believe, of how well an organization, whether it's a big or small corporation, will perform over time. And, you know, and that includes all forms of collaboration, whether it's with the team, the department, the business unit, as well as the external collaboration that a company would have with its customer, with its partner, with its contractor, even its suppliers. So I think that, you know, the world has changed in so many ways. And I think that collaboration is no longer a nice to have, but really a trait that that companies as a culture have to have more of a culture of collaboration, as well as individuals have to, you know, get much better at collaborating and reaching across the aisle.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm starting to see a trend more or less across all the podcast interviews we've had so far, that it seems that every guest is convinced that collaboration is a new business model, or collaboration is the new competition. So competition or collaboration is growing more and more in importance. And when you look at your business, how important is collaboration for your business?
Well, I would say that, you know, I'd always like to say that collaboration to me is important for any business of any size. And if I look at Oracle, for instance, you know, which is my current employer, we have a partner network of over 20,000 partners, probably even more than that. And there's various levels of engagements and commitment, right? I mean, we have the diamond, the platinum, the gold. But the point being is that I think you're never too small or never too big as a business to go at it alone. And, you know, collaboration brings unbelievable competitive advantage to business. I mean, if we look at many of the great startups in this century, or even in the last 30 years, you know, began as a team of two. If you look at Apple, Microsoft, eBay, HP, and the list go on. So, I mean, it really is, you know, interesting. And I was reading a statistic the other day that in the workplace, the employees with collaborative relationships are 42 times more likely to stay with their current employer compared to those with no partnership. So when you don't feel necessarily connected and engaged and part of something and feel like you belong, you're much more likely to seek something else. And I find that it's a startling statistic, you know, and it proves, I think, the case in point for how important collaboration is to a business.
Interesting statistic, and but honestly not surprising. When I quickly look back to my work history, I recognize a company where I only worked for 6 months, and I left simply because it was not a collaborative company. So I recognize the statistic from own experience. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, how have you or Oracle organized the collaboration? You mentioned the 20,000 partners. Are those global partners or US only partners?
Both, right? I mean, we have many of the partners are global. And I think that, you know, companies, it was interesting because some years ago, I was asked to do a consulting for Sun, and then I became a full-time person afterwards to come on board to actually apply the recommendations. And what they wanted me to do, and I think that the reason I'm bringing that up is not so many companies are looking at partners necessarily very strategically. And what I was asked to do at the time was, you know, they recognized that they only had so much funding to either go to market or fund initiatives, and they wanted to have what they called a partner capability metrics based on, you know, what based on geography, based on capabilities, based on reach, and so on. And it was a very, very good way. And it was around the axis of 10, you know, global partners. And as a result of that, we were really, really well equipped to be able to say, here are the partners that we're going to go to market with in those industries because they have those capabilities, you know, in those geography and so on, and being able to really divide up the pie in a very strategic, pragmatic way. I find that many companies, and that includes Oracle, may have a lot of partners. And obviously, you know, you have like your platinum partner, your diamond partners and so on, which obviously have a strategy, have a plan, you know, have people dedicated to them on both sides, you know, for both companies, whether it's a partner or Oracle. And we do a fairly good job at, you know, selecting, you know, managing, you know, the what we do with each of the partners. And then you have, you know, everyone else. But even when we are organized, and Oracle is not the best company to, you know, partner with. I mean, many companies are not necessarily good partners. I mean, they are partners more as, I wouldn't say a necessary evil, but almost, right? Because you don't necessarily have all the resources, you don't necessarily have all the reach, and, you know, you need to use other people's relationships and so on to, you know, increase the pipeline. So being a good partner is not something that is necessarily easy. And it has more to do also with how a company is organized and what a company really values and consequently rewards and recognizes. And, you know, you almost have to have at the heart of a company really the culture of collaboration. And not every company have that. You know, actually very few do. I mean, they love the benefit of what, you know, what partnership will give you as far as the, you know, the results that you could get from partnership, but not necessarily everything as far as the efforts necessary as, and in addition to the rewards and the recognition that you have, you know, in order to make partnership really work for you. So, you know, compensation drives behavior, right? So, mm-hmm. So I think that many companies really talk a good game when it comes to collaboration, even gives you some of the tools to collaborate, but really at the end of the day, very often would pin one internal organization, you know, over the others, or not necessarily rewarding and compensating appropriately to really drive and, you know, the behavior. So I think that when you look at a company's culture, that speaks volume, right? Because you really see, are they really a collaborative culture? Do they really reward and, incentivize people to really collaborate? How much do they believe in collaboration as a successful business model and as a core value of theirs? Or is it just something that, you know they need to do, and something that at the end of the day, they hope to get a lot out of, not necessarily having to change a whole lot of their cultures and their processes to really enable that? And it makes it, you know, more challenging for, you know, people that are collaborative or people that work in alliances and partnerships. Sometimes, you know, you see that you're not always, you know, supported by management and executives.
No, that's one of the challenges for an alliance manager, indeed. It's more the diplomat who needs to work around not only its partner organization, but also his or her own organization.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, being in direct sales and indirect sales, I would say that, you know, very often I think that also companies don't necessarily understand the importance of the role of people that are, you know, the collaborators, the alliance, you know, directors, and so on. I think you have to have all of the qualities that are necessary to be, you know, a good sales and marketing person. You have to understand the values, the principle of what makes it work and what can, you know, what makes up a win-win-win. But you also have to be, you know, almost like an ambassador. You have to be a good negotiator. You know, you have to be a good mediator. So you have to have even more, I think, of the traits and the characteristics that you do very often in direct sales. And companies tend to think differently sometimes and not necessarily giving as much credit or putting people in as, you know, as senior as they should in those very important positions.
Yeah. So how would you select partners to collaborate with?
Well, I would say that, you know, from my perspective, and, you know, if I go back again from what has worked and what hasn't for me, because it, you know, it hasn't been successful all the way. So if I look at either a collaborative relationships in the same company or partnering with another company, I've boiled it down over time to what I call six critical success factors that I look for. And every time that I've compromised, it didn't necessarily work for me. And what I call, you know, and I'll just be brief here, I call it, the first thing I think is the likability factor, right? I mean, having great chemistry. People do business with people they like and they trust. So you need to genuinely like and respect your partner, in my opinion. The second thing is the compatibility factor. You know, do you have similar values, culture, market footprint, marketing style? I think that compatibility is extremely important because it brings a level of understanding, acceptance, and also velocity. You know, if you're compatible, you're not going to spend time fighting on things. You're going to spend your energy actually getting things done. The other thing is the complementarity factor. So, you know, an individual, as I mentioned before, or a company cannot be skilled at everything, right? I mean, everybody has its own special excellence. So in a partnership, you know, when we tend to go with people that are more like us, that's not what we should look for in a partnership. We should look for people or companies that complement each other in terms of strengths, capabilities, and competencies. So you want to complement, not overlap, or not overlap too greatly. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to get the momentum and the velocity that you're looking for in the partnership. The other thing is what I call the commonality factors, and that has to do with vision, goals, and expectations. So, you know, a shared vision and a shared goal is the foundation of all partnerships. So, you know, when a partnership fails, very often at the root cause of that, it's because people were pursuing different agendas and had different expectations, whether they verbalized it or not. So you have to be really clear about what you want to accomplish, what you want to get out of a partnership, and all parties must agree ahead of time before going forward. The fifth one is the trust factor. I think that the trust is like the road between mountaineer on a snowy ledge. The linchpin is really, trust is really the linchpin of a partnership. No trust, no partnership. So, when you trust someone or when you trust, your partner, then both companies can really concentrate on their respective and separate responsibilities, confident that the other one will come through for them. So, I always say never partner with people you cannot trust. And then, the last one is the communication factor. I have found that over time, when things really, get out of hand, whether in a project, whether in an alliance, very often things could have been avoided if people communicated better, on the onset and ongoing communication. So I see that the early stages of a partnership, communicating really helps prevent any misunderstanding and to really assure that each side, have each other's, trustworthiness. And then later, as the relationship evolves, a continuous flow of information and communication makes it much more efficient, and it helps keep everyone, really synchronized. So, communication can never be, overrated. So, there are many other things that are important, but I would say that those are the things that in a collaborative team of two or multiples, and whether it's internal to a company or, external, those are the things that are, six critical success factors. And obviously, you cannot always choose the people you partner with. So, you have to be mindful of what the landfills are going to be, what's working and what's not, and try to really circumvent some of the issues and challenges that may arise, if those things are not in place.
I like the way you group them into six factors. Sometimes I recognize all of six of them, of course, but sometimes I split them out into more factors, but you really have them condensed into six factors that are very important. And I could only smile when you were speaking about trust and communication, because I completely agree. Without trust, there can't be a partnership. At least no healthy partnership, and not a long-standing one.
And I really believe that, sometimes we struggle to understand things in the business setting, but really, if we look back, I often use very simple examples when I want to get a point across, and very often I boil it down to our personal lives, right? Because everybody's got relationship in their personal life, whether with a significant other, with family and so on. And if you look at, the people you get along the best with, or having, a healthy relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a marriage, whatever it is in terms of a committed relationship that you have with people, very often, the ones that often last and are considered healthy and bring value to the parties involved, have often those characteristics.
Yeah, I agree. So, is there any collaboration you could share from your experience that you have been involved in that has your best learning experience and taught you the most on collaboration?
Yeah, I would say that, because sometimes you know intuitively that certain things are good, but when you see them in action and you actually the end results, you become a real believer. And I would say that, in sales, failure is not an option. So you have to get the job done. You have to perform in order to keep your job. So I found very early on in my career, when I was the first time around at Oracle, I was here for 5 years, some years ago. And I found very early on in my sales career that I would never have enough time, contacts, resources, and so on to achieve my own individual goals or my team goal if I was you know, a sales manager without reaching out to, you know, partners and, you know, people within the company that I could really, you know, leverage their knowledge, their relationships and so on in an healthy way, you know, in a win-win kind of way.
Yeah.
And case in point, you know, several years back, I was promoted to a national sales director position. And before I got promoted, the entire sales force for the business unit I was responsible for was let go, with the exception of one salesperson and five pre-sales consultants. And to make matters worse or more challenging, there were, you know, only three quarters left in the current fiscal year, and I had to reach a $22 million quota while at the same time rebuilding the entire sales force. And, you know, you can only imagine, morale was low. There was no sense of teamwork, no overall directions, and so on. So to make a long story short, by applying a systematic yet a creative approach to sales and partnering, the team was able to achieve, you know, $30 million worth of business in 9 months on a $22 million quota. And we went on to increase the sales revenue to $77.4 million, you know, the following year. And it was all because, you know, at the same time as being focused on achieving the revenue, thinking, who are, you know, building kind of an ecosystem around the team that could really help us, people that could benefit, partners, you know, team members and so on, that could benefit from the success and could really help us achieve more. And I think that, you know, when you have the right partnership, you could really reach levels of success that you could, I would say, maybe not never achieve on your own, but seldom achieve on your own. And you're certainly not going to have as much fun. I think that,
yeah,
you know, being able to share success with other people, to me anyhow, is much more fun than, you know, trying to be the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, but you probably will also never find a Lone Ranger who's good at collaboration.
Nope.
So are there some specific lessons you that could highlight from this experience?
I would say that, you know, I think to repeat what I just said is, don't go at it alone, right? I mean, collaboration really allows you to achieve unprecedented success, because if it's done properly, it really builds on your strengths and it mitigates your weaknesses. And we all have them. Mm-hmm. You know, we cannot be good at everything and we don't have all the resources. We just don't, you know, whether as a company or as an individual. And to really try to get out of your comfort zone and don't look to surround yourself with people or companies that are necessarily exactly like you. Because while you need to complement each other, you cannot duplicate, you know, your skills, your strengths, your competencies. I think the things that you do duplicate are, you know, the values and so on and very similar culture. But outside of that, you know, it behooves you to, you know, get out of your comfort zone and look beyond, you know, be very crystal clear and sincere about what you're lacking, you know, in terms of strengths or resources and so on, being very clear about what you're trying to accomplish and the expectation. And then, you know, what are the strengths that you could bring into a collaborative relationships, and then, you know, reach out to complement, you know, with people that mitigate your weaknesses and continue to build and appreciate the strengths that you bring into it.
You shared already your six lessons or your six criteria for selecting partners. You shared these specific lessons. Is there a number one recommendation for people who are, or organization who are entering into collaborations, that you would give them?
Yeah. And let me just preface by, I mean, you and I are, you know, working with alliances, and you've been working at a very high level of, you know, strategic alliances and partnerships. And, you know, another statistic is, you know, 85% of all alliances fail to meet the needs of both one or both parties. And I think that the five key reasons are, you know, there's no common vision, there's unrealistic or undefined expectation, there's misalignment, there's lack of trust, there's poor communication or lack of communication. But if I had to summarize it into one recommendation, I would have to say that, you know, think relationship first, business second. You know, at the end of the day, you partner with people. You know, companies don't partner, people do.
Yep.
And people do business with people they like and trust. So at the end of the day, partnering isn't so much about the tools or the processes that helps. It's about the people and the relationships. So, you know, I mean, again, going back to everyday life, you know, I mean, people deal with people. We're all people at the end of the day. Yes, we have titles, we have responsibilities, we have jobs, but, you know, we're a person executing all that. And relationships always, always matter.
Yeah, I can't agree more. You write, and we will come back to your website in a minute. You write a lot yourself. Mm-hmm. Is there also a business book or a book about collaboration that you would like to recommend? And I don't believe you have written your own book yet, have you?
No, I haven't. I have the title. And I have the, you know, the outline. I have the table of content. I'm just lacking time to do it. But
it's a good start.
The skill is there and the intention is there. But, you know, that's definitely something. And it's going to be around collaboration and drawing parallel between, you know, life and business. But the two books I'd like to recommend for different reasons would be, there's a book called The Power of Two. And it's How to Make the Most of Your Relationship at Work and in Life by Rod Wagner and Gail Mueller. Very good book. And the other one is by the latest book of Malcolm Gladwell, David and Goliath. And it kind of diffused the whole myth about the David and the Goliath. Very, very interesting book. Not just pertaining to alliances, but very good things for life and business in general.
Okay, well, I will link to both books in the show notes so that people can easily find them. And where can people find more about you? I will also link to that, by the way, in the show notes.
Yes, I would say that, you know, I love to blog and speak about, you know, strategic partnerships, social business, personal branding. So you could find me at revenueaccelerationstrategies.com. And, you know, I always like to connect with people on Twitter. So at Francine Allaire, and also, you know, on LinkedIn, which I always look to expand, you know, my network of very quality professionals and, you know, continue the conversation and the discussion, because I really believe in that. And I, you know, and I don't have all the answers. I always look, you know, and really welcome other people's take on, you know, collaboration and partnership, as well as, you know, different parts of the world, you know, having been born and raised in Canada, having worked in Europe, and working mostly for, you know, global American companies, I could really see a difference between where you live in the world and how companies and people are predisposed to collaborate. And that's always fascinating to me.
It certainly is. And I would love to have a conversation with you about that, but we're already nearing the end of this conversation, because mm-hmm. I tried to limit it to 30 minutes, so we need to save that for a next occasion.
Sure.
Is there anything you would like to share with our listeners that we have not yet discussed?
Well, I'm going to post, you know, a blog post of something that people often ask me, if I believe that men and women are different when it comes to collaborating, because I've been mostly from almost in my entire career in a male-dominated industry. And if they are, you know, if they have different motivating factors, or if they're seeking different types of rewards or bring different skills to a relationship. So, you know, I decided that I was going to write, you know, I interviewed quite a few professionals and asked some very specific questions. And so you could read more on my post called Collaboration Style and Success, Do Gender Matter? So that's going to be posted, you know, very soon at revenueaccelerationstrategies.com. And again, I'd love to keep the conversation going and love to hear, you know, your thoughts and comments and your listeners' thoughts and comments on the, you know, what they feel, what has been their own experience, because I basically unedited answers of what people have given me, the questions that I've asked them.
It's a very interesting topic, and I will be more than happy to contribute on your post there. So I will also link to the post in the show notes. Well, Francine, thank you for being my guest in this episode of the Collaborative Business Podcast, episode 17. And as usual, the show notes will be available for everybody at simoons.com/episode17. Thank you very much for being my guest, Francine.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having me. And I'm a big fan of your work. So it's been an honor to be a part of that podcast. And I thank you for asking me to be a contributor to it.
Well, so far for the conversation with Francine, I believe we had a great conversation. I hope you think about it the same way. A lot of tips. And as I mentioned in the final words with Francine, everything is captured in the show notes at simoons.com/episode17. And if you enjoyed this episode, then make sure to check out the Alliance Mastery programs to take your business and your partnerships to the next level. It's about relationship, about focus, about process, and about tools to create great partnerships and alliances. And our Alliance Mastery programs will help you create that success in business and in your alliances and partnerships. Check it out at alliancemastery.com. Bye for now. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to the Collaborative Business Podcast. For more insights about business collaboration, partnerships, and alliances, hop over to www.cmoons.com.